Good evening, Saints. Be Friday night. So excited we get to be here for a Bible study. Get to learn more of our Savior and Bridegroom's love for us. Many manifold ways that He loves us. Learning to grow up into Him in all things. And we'll just open here with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that by your great grace you've gathered us here together tonight. And Father, we trust and have full confidence and assurance of faith that your word will strike deep in the hearts of your people. Father, we just ask that ears are open to hear, hearts are open to receive. We just ask for an anointing of the Holy Spirit that everything said here tonight is just from you, God, straight from your mouth and your heart into our hearts. And so, Father, we thank you graciously that you've allowed us this time tonight to partake more of Jesus, to grow up more into him, into the fullness of his stature and love. We thank you and we praise you and give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, if you'll go to Colossians chapter 2, we're going to start there. And this is a precious few thoughts the Lord's been kind of stirring in my heart, maybe the last couple of weeks or so, I guess. And tonight, the message, the title is going to be Rooted and Built Up in Him. And we want everything to be in Him, of course, because that's how we live and move and have our being. It's all in Him, and all glory to Him. So Colossians 2, and we'll pick it up in verses 6 and 7. And actually, just really quickly, if you want to put a bookmark over in Ephesians 3:17, you can do that too here in a second. So we'll get over there, as well as a few other places here in the Word tonight. Colossians 2:6 says, "As ye there have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." And there is so much in those two verses. I always think, wow, it would just take a lifetime to unpack even one word of this. And it'll take more than a lifetime, but we'll have the ages to come. It's amazing. And I was thinking even, Hagen, as you were praying, there were about three words you said that are going to be in here. It's kind of awesome. I was like, wow. Spirit, thank you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit, that Spirit unites us. But we think about this in this one sentence, two precious verses. If we just take a little quick kind of stroll through here, and then we'll talk specifically about rooted and built up, we have the journey from salvation all the way through to the bridal fulfillment. It says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. So this is Jesus the Lord. This is salvation, receiving him, confessing and believing on the name of Jesus. You're saved. Then you walk in him. We have a walk in him, and a walk is our way of life, our manner of conduct, how we do things, how we do life, and our walk is in him. Amen? Then there's rooted and built up in him. And rooted, we'll talk about this, but that's a securing, like a steadfastness, an anchor. And then, of course, built up is growing. Being built up is you grow. So we have that, and you can see how this is just tracking along. We're saved, we walk, we're rooted, we're built up, then established in the faith. And faith is so necessary because faith is for things that we can't see with these natural eyes. It takes the Holy Spirit to build up that faith, to see things that aren't apparent in this realm right now. And finally, we abound with thanksgiving. And that abounding has got to be that fullness of salvation with eternal glory. There's joy at, call it simple salvation, just receiving Christ and knowing that you're going to be in heaven with him forever. But then there's always more. as we know, a lot more. And that's our call in the high calling. We press for the mark, for the prize of the high calling. That prize is Jesus, to win his hand in marriage. So that's just a little summary even of that, but you see how that whole story is right there in a couple of verses. But rooted and built up in him. To be rooted, this means to cause to strike root, to strengthen, to render firm, to cause a person or a thing to be thoroughly grounded. And you know that when it says to cause to strike root, we are going to talk about quite a bit tonight our life as analogous to the life of a plant with growth, with roots, with all of this. There's a lot of wonderful things we can glean from this here, but that is rooted. So it's an establishing. Then to be built up means actually to be built upon. And of course, to be built up, you need to be built upon something. And there has to be a firm foundation. Whether you're a plant being rooted to that soil, or whether it's, you can look at the metaphor of a building also, a physical structure has to be set on a firm foundation, or things don't go very well. If that foundation is not solid, that building is going to have problems at some point. 1 Corinthians 3, 10 and 11. Paul says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. You know, we can be assured he's a sure foundation. He is not moving. He is not going anywhere. Well, he's coming to get us. And we're going up to meet him. But I mean, he's there. He's solid. Ephesians 2:20 tells us how we, the household or family of God, are built upon the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So we have the apostles, we have the prophets, the Old Testament, the New Testament, everything works together for the glory of God. You know, the Old and New Testament, they intertwine. One doesn't work without the other. We have the prophets, we have the apostles, we have all of this. We have Paul, the master builder, because he's the one that gave us the message that will build the masterpiece, God's ultimate workmanship, that readied wife. So we can see how all of this tracks perfectly together. And it couldn't be anything else because it's the Word of God that is perfect. So when we think about plants, rooted, a plant, if you go over to Isaiah 60, and some people think, well, what's with people and plants? Well, there's quite a bit, actually. Isaiah chapter 60, almost at the end of Isaiah here, verse 21, says, "Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified." Now, technically, this is speaking of Israel, actually, but we can see this in spirit. Israel, God wrote a bill of divorcement because she was an unfaithful wife, but he is going to restore her. We have Jesus. We're not going to be the wife of God the Father. That's not our calling, but we're to be a wife for his Son. And there is a restoration and everything going on here. Started with salvation, but it continues on. We grow up and we mature in the Lord, that full restoring. But this verse is beautiful too, because when you think about it, here it talks about, as mature sons of God, we have the righteousness of Christ himself. We are all righteous because of him. The land that is ours, that's our inheritance. You think about Joshua and Caleb that went into that land, Canaan, the promised land, such a tremendous spiritual type, because they were to walk all the way through it. You walk through it, you experience it, then you possess it. It's yours for the taking. And that promised land is all those vast riches of the bridal calling, the bridal truth that God has for you in Jesus. We're branches from Jesus, the vine. You can think about John chapter 15, the work of the hands of the husbandman who tenderly cares for the plants, takes care of them so that they grow up. He prunes them sometimes too. And again, that is so they bear more fruit. Anything that's not fruitful, he'll cut off. But he prunes them so there's more fruit. And this, again, is all to the glory of God. All right, so now we'll go to Ephesians that I mentioned earlier. Ephesians 3, and we'll pick it up in verse 17. This will be a very familiar portion to you all, I know, but it's just, we were visited in class the other day about how you can be very familiar with verses, but God can continue to unpack it and reveal more and more and more every time. Some of that is because you might be in a different place and be receptive to something, but it's also in his perfect timing. That's his will. That's the time you receive something. I know a lot of times I've been amazed at very familiar verses, and I read them like, wow, he just showed me something brand new about that. That's this word. That's why it's alive. It's living. It's active. It's not passive. It's not just a storybook or something. Not at all. It's the word of God. Jesus is alive, and his word's alive, for sure. So Ephesians 3:17, and we'll see how this ties in here with Colossians 2:6-7. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And again, we had faith back there in Colossians, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. So now we have rooted with grounded, and it's in love. This faith and love is both here. Verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. Wow, that's quite a love. Which passes knowledge. Yes, it certainly does, doesn't it? That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And you think, wow, or I think anyway, wow, how could that ever happen? God, wow. Well, right here, it's talking about how it happened. You're rooted and grounded. You're rooted and built up. This is all in him. It's to the glory of God. God withholds nothing good from his children. Why would he? He wants you to grow up. Probably worse than you want to grow up sometimes. That's his ultimate thing, is grow up. Hallelujah. So this root word grounded means to lay the foundation. So we have a similar thing here. To make stable and establish. And I think how similar this is between these two verses, I would say it's a sufficient witness. Things can be in the Word of God a lot more than just once or twice as we're reading through. But you think about, just to unpack these verses a little bit here, verse 17 starts with Christ dwelling. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And that's how things happen. It's faith. It's the key to continual dwelling. And you'll think about this. Faith is built on and by trials a lot of times. Because you have to have that vision to see past the present circumstance. And it might go on for quite a while. Some trials are fairly quick and they're kind of over. Other ones last a long time. There's just gleaning to be done there, but it takes faith. Like Abraham called those things that were not as though they were. He had faith. He just said, Lord, I see it, I believe it. I believe your word. And we have that same faith. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But I mean, evidence and substance are pretty concrete things, actually. So this is how we get to reality with our faith. This is all temporal. It's real in a sense, but it's not real like Jesus is real. Not at all. He's real. And you see him by faith. I love that. And even like tonight when we're gathered here, we see him in each other though, because he's in us. Like I always like to say, we're as close as we get to him here, because he's in each of us. Wonderful. Just wonderful to be here with the brethren. It's awesome. So as we allow God to complete the work that he began in us, we see by faith, yea, the deep things of God, the eternal things that he's purposed for us. So beyond this temporal, we go out into the deep and see all of these things. The pathway to glory becomes bright. It's a light. You start seeing the light. There have been a few moments since I've come into this meeting that definitely like a light bulb has gone off. It's like, wow, I thought I understood that. Didn't even have a clue. honestly. But God was faithful to show that. He says, but here you go. Now you see it, right? And I see it, and I believe it. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the particular thing Paul writes of is being established, rooted, and grounded in love. And just like faith, I mean, faith and love are so important to the life of a believer who wants to grow up, because it's got to be in love. And when you think about it, God is love. That's his essence. And he can't be anything else. As people, we can pretend to be other things sometimes. Maybe we can fool some people for a while, maybe even ourselves a little bit. You don't ever fool God, though. He is what he is. I am that I am. He is. And we can be thankful for that. But we come to understand love because he first loved us. He's the one that extended to you for salvation. Actually, just the very, again, beginning of the adventure that's your life in him once you're saved. It's an adventure, isn't it? Hills and valleys and all kinds of things. But it's all wonderful when it's in love. You can love allows us to endure. Because it's something, again, it's like faith, where when you think of Christ at Calvary, for the joy set before him, he was going through tremendously horrific things and so many levels. Yet, that joy set before him, that was you. It's amazing. It's awesome. It's very humbling, actually. But you think about all of this. If you want to have a good read about Father, Son, and us, John chapter 17. Sometimes I just read through that whole thing. And you know, if you start out a little low, by the time you're done with that, you'll be hanging from the ceiling probably. It's awesome. But we have to be rooted and grounded in love to be able to comprehend. And this word comprehend, says with all saints, so this is for everyone, not just some, because God's not a respecter of persons. It means to lay a hold of so as to make one's own. So this is like a possession or a treasure. When you take a hold of something to make it your own, that's personal to you. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The enlightened eyes of understanding. He brightens that. He says, here's the things of Christ. They're yours personally. They're not just something that's not of value. They're hugely, hugely valuable. It also means to take into oneself. That's interesting. Appropriate, discern, and understand. And, you know, you think about, you can know certain things. There's a knowing, like of intellect, or in a casual sense, maybe being aware of something. But then there's knowing, like a husband knows a wife. It's very detailed, very intimate. And this is what this word does for us when we're growing up into it. That Holy Spirit makes everything very personal to you. You have a lot of friends and acquaintances you can have, and you might have very fond feelings for several of them, but not like a spouse, not even in the same ballpark, not at all. So this is how the love is for our bridegroom, for Jesus. And this is wonderful. This is the knowing, that we may know the love of Christ and then be filled with all the fullness of God. Well, Christ came, he fulfilled everything. He's in you, you're in him. There's a completion there. There's nothing lacking at all. That's the reality of your life right now. It's amazing. I love it. All right, now when we think about roots, I kind of went into actually looking at roots in plants. Like, what do roots do? And some of it was, I'd say, fairly obvious, because most of us know things that roots do, but there's actually three specific things that are, we can take these into the spiritual sense and glean from them. So one thing that roots do is they anchor a plant to the ground. And again, we talked about a foundation. Christ is an anchor to the soul. That is Hebrews 6:19, if you want to make a note of that. But these roots, you've got to be anchored, because for a plant, they're usually outdoors. You might have house plants indoors, but generally a plant is outside. It's subject to all its environment, basically. You've got scorching sun sometimes. You've got wind. You may have torrential rains, a lot of things. A pretty harsh environment for plants, a lot of extremes. I mean, think about here in Colorado, the hail. You get everything out here. If that plant doesn't have a root, solid root, it probably won't survive, or it's going to be a very weakened plant. It's going to be difficult for the plant. So you think about this here. Now, you think about in the parable of the sower, one of the groups of people, and actually that parable of the sower is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I don't have a specific reference here, but it's in those three gospels. There is a group that Jesus spoke of. It says, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. So they hear it and receive it with joy. That's wonderful. Then these have no root. Uh-oh. The train just kind of went off the tracks there. Which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. So they have no root. They had no anchor. They had nothing firm. So when temptations came, they fell away. Now this is interesting because this isn't speaking to losing your salvation, because it says, which for a while believe. So this is talking about a believer, not an unsaved person. But in time of temptation, they fall away. I looked up fall away, and it means to withdraw oneself or to depart. That's a choice. So when we think about this, you've got to have that root, though, because when that root is there, it's stable. When tough things happen, you go to the rock that is higher than I. You make a choice to say, Jesus. You say, Jesus, it's you. You've got to help me with this. And he's right there, fast, quicker than quick. All right, another thing that roots do is they supply the plant with water and nutrients from the soil. Now, I will tell you there are, I think, a few plants that sometimes they don't need a whole lot of soil. Sometimes you look and there's like a plant coming out of a rock or something. That can happen, but there's something that plant is being able to live off of. But generally, plants have soil. And when you think about that word supply, it's to make provisions or to provide. A supply is a provision. Interestingly, roots seek out pockets of moisture so that when drought comes, the plant has the water that it'll need. Water is very necessary. I think you can only go a few days without water. You can go longer without food. But water is very, very critical for a human to live, to continue to exist. Well, it seems like plants, part of the roots, they seek out that water. And they find pockets of it and they store it up. Now, roots also move the water and nutrients up through the stems and the stems to the leaves. And when you think about soil, spiritually, this is the Word of God. This is a soil that has all the nutrition and nutrients in it that we need to grow spiritually. And then we have that wonderful living water. It's water that revives us and restores us. Now we can think in Ephesians 4:16, the members of the body of Christ we're called supplying joints. We are suppliers. It tells us in Ephesians 4:16, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself, yes, in love. So there you have this love again, comes up a lot. So every member and every joint of this body has a specific purpose and a use. And it's something that just every single one does. It could be, you never know when you reach out to someone just to give an encouragement or anything, or praying. You never know, but God knows. You're a supplying joint. However God uses you, whatever he puts on your heart, just be obedient to him in that. He'll use you. It may be in secret and quietly. That's okay. He knows, and it works effectually. So we can thank him for that. Now we've got anchoring, supplying, then the roots store the finished food that the leaves make through photosynthesis. So in the plant cycle, you have the photosynthesis that makes food, and the plant continues to grow. Roots storing. And if you think, if a plant is perennial, the food stores provide the needed strength for the plant to come up again the next year. And actually, you think of a lot of roots are vegetables and things that we eat. Carrots, potatoes, different things that grow under the ground. Those are actually food stores that could be used for the plant, but they also feed us, people, sometimes too. So there's a lot of different things there with this storage. But as earthen vessels, we take in the word and store it up. We're told to store it up in your heart. And you think about this, because there will be times when you're going to need that word. And when it's stored up in your heart, when you're going through something, I'm sure all of you have experienced it, that word is right there. Or maybe you're ministering to someone that's in a very difficult time, and all of a sudden that word, a word will be right there. Well, that's it's been stored up. God places it there, and it's just stored, and it's there, but it's ready to be used when it needs to be. So much in here, huh? So to be able to store up, it indicates an excess provision from God also. So you have, when you can store things up, you have enough that you're going beyond what actually needs to be used. And it also has to do with good stewardship. When you think about this, to whom much has been given, much is required. But to whom much has been given, there's the giving before the requiring. Thank you, Lord. I'm excited about that. But you think about, there's a lot of examples in the Word of God where ones were wise to store up provisions for different things. Sometimes God would say, a famine, a drought's coming, something's coming, store it up, lay it up. You can probably think of a few stories of that just off the top of your head. God provided that excess, but there was also an aspect of stewardship there. The people were obedient to that. They were disciplined to do that. You can always go and burn up everything you've got, even if you have excess. The flesh will tend to do that. It can. But the stewardship is something that God gave you. Be a good steward of it. Take care of it. Cherish it. It's from the Lord. It's from Him. It's given to you for a specific reason. So we can thank Him very much for that. All right. Now, with plants. So that was the roots. Anyway, anchoring, storing, supplying. Wonderful things that roots do for a plant. Then we have an aspect of the plant that's probably my favorite one, and I think where God has us in this bridal calling is the fact that a goal of a plant is to be fruitful, to reproduce. And this is the goal of plants, and this is how our life in Christ perpetuates itself. We're to grow up, grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow. It's in grace. That's how we grow. When you think about it, back in Genesis, the first thing God said to Adam and Eve was, be fruitful. I think first things are pretty important. Be fruitful. He wasn't only going to have just Adam and Eve as humans. We're going to have a lot of humans eventually. But it was be fruitful. But of course, we can go in the spiritual with this too. It's a huge application. To bear fruit means there's a multiplying and increasing. And even here in Ephesians, it talked about increasing in love, edifying itself in love. This is so wonderful. You think about it. And again, in John 15, verse 4, Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. Jesus is the vine, we're the branch. We're in him. He's our supplier, our sustenance, everything we need. He wants us to be fruitful, though. He doesn't want us to just sit there and go, okay, I'm a vine, I'm a branch. He's like, no, grow, be fruitful. I love that. Abiding and remaining in first love with Jesus is how we're ultimately fruitful as a readied wife. And again, back to this growing up. So when I think of fruit, I think of orchards and gardens. And wow, I love gardens. They're so beautiful. And you know, when you think about it, a garden, a lot of times, is not just planted for one, like a self, yourself. It's planted for the pleasure of someone else or others, too. It's to share. You want to share beauty. You want to share these things with people. And when you think about it, this garden is just an explosion of sensory pleasure. When you think of a garden, you look at it, it's beautiful. It's lush. It's got a lot of plants, flowers, all different kinds of color. The aromas in a garden are amazing, usually. What do you hear in a garden, usually? Maybe birds, maybe the wind, a little breeze, something. The sensory touching, the different plants and everything, it's amazing, in the natural even. But think of how much more so even in the spiritual. So with that, we have to go over to Song of Solomon, because how can we not go over to Song of Solomon when you're talking about a garden and an orchard and growing up in Christ and all of that, right? Song of Solomon, chapter 4. 4:12. We'll read a few. We'll go through, I think, 16 here. This is King Solomon speaking of the Shulamite. And we know King Solomon is in type the Lord Jesus. And the Shulamite is the bride. So Solomon says of the Shulamite in Song of Solomon 4:12, a garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, campfire with spikenard, spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon. Wow, that's incredible. With all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices. Those are the best spices, the best of everything. A fountain of gardens. Wow, you see how this just keeps building. Fountain of gardens. A well of living water, streams from Lebanon. That's incredible. But see, that's the king describing the bride. That's amazing. But that's what she is to him. That's what she's become, because she's grown up. It's wonderful. That word garden or gardens sometimes, and again, this is in the Hebrew here, Old Testament, it occurs many times, but number 1588 means primarily an enclosure, an enclosed garden, figurative of a bride. That's it. Not sure you can get any more blunt than that, but that's what it is. And you see, she's enclosed. She's special to him. He's walled her all around. She's his personal garden. She's not to be shared with everybody. Nope, not at all. How wonderful. But he's tended her, taken just again, by being in love with her. Love has grown her up, and grace and faith, all these things. So the ultimate fruit that a human can bear is to be that readied wife. That gives glory to God, a mature one who has allowed grace to grow him or her up to that full stature of Christ. This is wonderful. Think of that. So when you think about it here, kind of wrapping this up, you start out, we have Christ is known as a seed. He's the seed in you that remains. He is incorruptible seed, meaning that seed cannot be corrupted. That seed that's in you is not able to be corrupted, because it's him. Perfect. Everything that a plant is or becomes is in that seed. Everything it needs to grow up is already in there. And this is even in nature. I'm amazed at how, you know, God uses his creation to show us so many things. We don't worship the creation above the creator, but this is for us to glean and understand things in the spiritual. Everything is in that seed. I mean, from, you know, and it can be really tiny. And then you have a giant sequoia tree that grows up. I've seen those things. They are huge. Started out as a little itty bitty seed, but it grew up to a huge tree. Everything was in that seed for that tree to be hundreds of feet tall, hundreds of years old sometimes, to live that long. That's amazing. Amazing. But just as seeds in the natural don't just stay covered in the ground, they grow. They develop roots that go down. They have the plant that comes up. Again, just another example in the natural of what's meant to be in our spiritual lives to grow up, to be built into a fruitful, wonderful, call it garden for him. So we become firm and grounded as our roots go deep into this word. And that's the grounding, that's the nutrition that we get from the word and from the water of the word. We grow up in Christ to the fullness of his stature as we take in everything that he has for us. Just avail yourself to this. Avail yourself to Paul's gospel, to this full counsel. He'll grow you up. He'll do it. We grow when you think about it too. There's actually the holy city, New Jerusalem. We grow even into that. That's a tremendous building. Wow. You know, it's going to have its own light. The light is the Lamb thereof. It's glorious. It glorifies God, the Father. It's amazing. That's the masterpiece. That's the wife for his son. Perfect in every dimension, in every single way. Because she's just, again, availed herself to this word and to the truth and love in this word. Rooted and grounded, built up in him. Amen? All right. Hope this has been a blessing for everyone. Thank you all.